from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that guy right there is James Hamm. Me, I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock at 4:30, game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Pacers at Celtics. We'll have coverage for you right here on ESPN 1320. Before we continue our journey through the Southeast Division, identifying players from each team that the Kings could target this offseason. Next up, the Washington Wizards. I think you know what couple of names we're going to bring up there. But, James, the all-defense teams have been announced in the NBA. Go ahead and list those off.
Yeah, okay, so the first team is crazy. It's 4 centers and Herb Jones.
Hilarious.
It's Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama, Bam Adebayo, Herb Jones, and Anthony Davis from the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Second team, Alex Caruso.
Of course.
Jalen Suggs.
Okay.
Derek White.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday, so 4 guards, and Jaden McDaniels. Now, a couple of other guys who have received votes. Lou Dort's barely missed. He was 2 points behind Jrue Holiday. He barely missed. Kawhi Leonard did not make all NBA defensive team. He finished with 29 votes. Chet Holmgren is on that list. Shea Gilgis Alexander, Giannis, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, all the way down here in the middle with 4 votes, with 4 points, including a first place and 2 seconds. One Domantas Sabonis. Next on the list, with 1 first place vote, 1 second place vote, and 3 overall votes, 1 De'Aaron Fox. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
That's just the truth, dog.
Yeah.
I forgot about my Anthony Edwards buttons. all right, those are your NBA all-defense teams for the 2023-2024 season. Congratulations to De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis for getting votes.
Yeah, at least being mentioned.
Trying hard. Love to see it. Let's get to the Washington Wizards, who have 2 players on our list. The first one is Kyle Kuzma. And it feels like anybody who has thoughts on Kyle Kuzma has already said them. You're either in on Kyle Kuzma or you're out. I don't know a single person who's like, maybe. You're either like, yes, this is a fix, or out. He's a clown. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of middle ground.
Yeah,
and I'm in, by the way.
For years I was out, but then I looked at his contract and his contract you keep dragging me back in. Like I don't know what to do.
Bring gas.
His contract is so good for a player of his skill level. Mm-hmm. Like, whether you can rein him in and whether you can get him to play defense, whether you can do all of the other things, whether he fits with your culture that you're building and everything else is a gigantic question mark. But he's a type of bouncy, rebounding, scoring, can block a couple of shots, can hit some threes type of player that might look really, really nice on a front line with Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis.
I'm telling you, man, he is, from a production standpoint, from an aggressiveness standpoint, he is better than Harrison Barnes at this point.
Oh, yeah, without any question.
Right.
I mean, and not to besmirch the good name of Harrison Barnes, but yeah, without any question.
On the basketball court, he's better. Yeah. Off the basketball court, you'd probably prefer to hang out with Harrison Barnes. But on the basketball court, that's an upgrade to your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line for me. Are you going to have to deal with a couple of bonehead plays here and there? Yeah, maybe. But on a night-in, night-out basis, you're going to be a better team, and that has to be the goal this offseason. Some of these other moves, like Gary Harris is a player we brought up, Mo Wagner, okay. There are so many other players we've brought up through this process that are like, okay, yeah, that's a nice eighth guy, ninth guy. You have to upgrade your starting lineup.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and this is that. Kyle Kuzma is that.
Yeah, he instantly steps in the door. He's your number two scoring option.
Yes.
And at worst case scenario, if you have someone particularly, he's your number three. And you would have three guys who on any given night could go, if you bring back Malik Monk, you'd have four guys that on any given night could go for 30. And that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like having that kind of scoring versatility is a good thing. And Kuzma is not as bad a defender as like he's been made out to be like in the past.
No.
He's solid.
Yeah, I think you get him into this. If the Kings carry over the defensive intensity and ecosystem that Mike Brown has built over the last couple of years, if they carry that over into next season, I think you see a very, very good version of Kyle Kuzma defensively.
Yeah.
So I'm very much in, and there's a difference between could go for 30 on any night and, he's capable of going for 30. Because that's, to me, what Harrison Barnes is. Harrison Barnes could give you 30. But he's not on any given night. You're like, Harrison Barnes might have 30 tonight.
No, Harrison's realize, more like you can he could get 20 tonight. He's a 20 guy.
Right. And yeah. Sometimes he gets super hot and you go, oh, man, he might get 30.
Yeah.
But Kyle Kuzma is a player who on a night-in, night-out basis, you're expecting 20. And on any night, you might get 30.
Yeah.
So I'm very much in. That's a starting lineup upgrade. It is not expensive. From a financial standpoint, I don't know what it would take to get him out of there in a trade.
Yeah.
But if you can acquire him via trade, that to me is a deal you go make.
No, I don't disagree with you. And again, it could be Barnes, it could be Herter, and then one of your other players in like the 13th pick. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's enough to get it done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either. I have no idea.
But you know, they signed him there with the intent of not being just horrible, and then they were horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, yeah.
That's tough. And then this is maybe my favorite player in the league, Tyus Jones. I'm such a big Tyus Jones supporter.
Yeah.
Can handle the basketball.
So good. The Jones brothers, man.
He's just high IQ guy. What's his assist to turnover ratio?
It's always 4-1. Sometimes it's higher.
It's outrageous, his assist to turnover ratio. He just never does the wrong thing with the basketball.
Both of the Jones brothers. If
he's only 28.
They don't turn the ball over at all.
I thought Tyus Jones was like 40.
No. No.
Dang.
Yeah.
Not actually 40. I would have guessed. If you told me to guess Tyus Jones' age, I would have said like 31.
He just turned 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly. His career assist to turnover is 4.3 to
0.8. 0.8 turnovers for his career.
He had a whopping 1.3 with Minnesota back in 2017-18.
His assist-to-turnover ratio last season, for a horrible team, mind you, 7.3-1. That's, and I'm sure he shamed. That's the first time in his career he's had he's had one turnover per game.
I was looking at the wrong column. I was looking at fouls. That is, the first time he has had a full turnover per game in a year.
That's absolutely crazy.
That is bananas, but he also had a career high in assists.
Yeah, he's an excellent, excellent defender, smart NBA basketball player. Again, if you have players like him on your roster, he shot 41.4% from three, smart, defensive-minded, hits the three ball, knows his role, doesn't make mistakes, that's a type of winning maneuver that you should be in on. And mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's going to get like a 3 or 36 from somebody, maybe a little bit more.
And you're out on him at that point?
Well, if you're back a point guard, that's tough. I mean, he's 6'1", so it's not like he can play multiple positions. You already got a 6'3" Fox. If you bring back Malik Monk at 6'2", 6'3"-ish, if you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I think, let me amend that. I'm operating just for now that Malik Monk is not going to be back.
Okay.
And that's where, just for my own, just that's kind of how I'm viewing everything. And then if he is, okay, great. But if he's gone, like, now you're in a much worse spot. Mm. It's to me, it's much easier to come up with contingency plans with, oh, Malik is back. Okay, great. Okay, well, we can just assume he's back and then he's not. And then we're going, okay, oh, now what?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I think Tyus Jones would be a great second
guard. He's one of the sneaky superstar role players. He is legitimately a superstar in his role. Go back and look at any time Memphis lost Ja Morant for any time, mm-hmm. and how they won. Like, they won and won and won and won. At one point, didn't they go like 20-1 without Ja Morant?
Something crazy. It was insane.
It's because that dude can hold down a fort.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't that Ja Morant made them worse. It's that Tyus Jones is just the man.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. Who do we have left? We got the Heat and the Hornets left. We can squeeze them both in next segment.
Yeah. No, that's
fine. I think we can. We'll do our best. We'll get to that next. We've got the handoff with, I believe it's D'Lo today, coming up in about half an hour. That's always fun having D'Lo and KC in. We've got good idea or bad idea coming up, and we'll have our daily salary cap lesson from James coming up as well. Plenty to get into over the final couple segments here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, good idea or bad idea? We're going to put a pin in our journey through the Southeast Division for a brief moment. Good idea or bad idea? We take three headlines or three things we've observed in the world or the world of sports. It doesn't really matter. We're not going to do belly flopping on an orca. That's just a bad idea.
But illogical.
I've got a couple more things here that we can go through, and then we will get back into our Kings off-season discussion. All right, number one, I just saw this on the internet, and it made the show. Apparently, a thing that people do is when they're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, they mix the peanut butter and jelly in a bowl first, and then whack that onto their bread. Good idea or bad idea?
That's a bad idea, Kyle.
Really bad idea. Thank you.
Man, because that means that you have a bowl that's very dirty, because peanut butter is one of those, it's got a lot of oil in it.
Pain.
It sticks to everything. Yeah. Like, I don't think it matters. Does that matter whether you have the mixed or the peanut?
No, that's silly. You use the knife to, and I'm going to say, your peanut butter or peanut butter substitute for those of you that are allergic. You take the peanut butter or peanut butter substitute, you put that on the bread, you wipe the knife off.
Yep.
Yeah, paper towel, napkin, whatever, you wipe the knife off, and then you go into the jelly, and again, if there's allergies or whatever and you want to use a different knife, if you're using two knife process, fine, I'm not going to argue with you. And you go jelly on the other bread, and then you mush them together.
Especially, you go peanut butter first, because peanut butter is not going to slide off the bread.
Sure.
You just go like, oh, all right, you're done.
Yeah.
Now,
easy work.
I will say, like, growing up, like, did you ever have peanut butter and honey sandwiches?
I did not.
Okay, so that is a thing, especially peanut butter, honey, and banana sandwiches.
That sounds delightful.
Okay, so you would, in that situation, you mix the honey with the peanut butter.
Okay, that's fair.
And it just kind of loosens up the peanut butter and makes it, it's not, it's sweeter, but it's sweeter in a different way. Honey has a different
flavor.
Yeah,
well, and if you just try and squeeze the honey on top, you're going to get, like, honey bites and the non-honey bites.
Yeah.
I get why you would do that. Mixing peanut butter and jelly is insane. Terrible idea. Don't do that.
That's
number
right.
Two. We talked yesterday about Red Lobster, and they're filing for bankruptcy because they took their limited time all-you-can-eat shrimp promotion and made it all the time, and it turns out, poor business decision. Buffalo Wild Wings is doing, for a limited time, all-you-can-eat wings and fries. Good idea or bad idea?
I think that that might be a good idea.
It's an elite idea. Top flight idea.
Yeah, because I don't... Does everyone go into a Buffalo Wild Wings, or do you a lot of time either get DoorDash, or do you... Or some other food delivery, or do you... You get takeout? Like, Buffalo Wild Wings, oh, yeah, I don't maybe. Know that I sit at a Buffalo Wild Wings all the time.
So that's when the Warriors were doing their playoff runs, that was the spot in my hometown to watch it.
Okay.
That was, like, the sports bar in town. So that's just where we would go and we'd hang out. To me, this is brilliant because it's not the wings and fries that they're making money on. They're going to get people like me who go sit in there and they're going to go, oh, yeah, Pacers-Celtics tonight? And it's all you can eat. Wait, yeah, I'm going to go sit there for 3 hours and I'm going to order beers or shots or whatever is happening. I don't know what kind of shindig this is going to be, but I'm going to, instead of just like, yeah, hey, give me 8 wings, I'm probably not going to order a side. Now I'm getting wings, I'm getting fries, I'm ordering drinks, I'm going to sit there for longer.
Mm-hmm.
I might bring my wife with me. Maybe she's not a wings person, or maybe I bring a friend with me who's a vegetarian. Okay, so they're not getting all you can eat wings. They're ordering drinks. They're getting
salads
or yeah. veggie burger, whatever they
some
fancy.
Sort of sandwich.
Appetizers. Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
Okay.
Good on B-dubs.
All right.
They want to sponsor the segment. Feel free. We'll talk about how good of an idea this is every single day.
All right.
I want to go in there and take advantage. I don't know. Last one. Aaron Rodgers is a full participant in Jets OTAs. Good idea or bad idea?
I think it's a good idea because I think you need to test his body right now. And I also think you need to have him find a rhythm. He's been out for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he like had Mr. Miyagi like go and fix him. But at the same time, like I want to see what that looks like on the field.
Yeah.
Like I saw like Danielson make the big kick.
Huh. Sure.
With the after having his leg fixed, but mm-hmm. I want to see what Aaron Rodgers looks like, even if it's just him finding a rhythm and figuring out his wide receiving core, which is different.
Yeah, you have to be there. You cannot miss all of last year with a torn Achilles, and then show up for training camp. You have to be around. You have to be in the building. You've got a new young receiving core still. This is the right thing for Aaron Rodgers to be doing.
I think so too.
Regardless, I mean, he's far enough removed from his injury that it's not like, and OTAs aren't super high intensity. It's just getting out and moving around and doing installs and getting on the same page with your receivers. This is the right move. Good on Aaron Rodgers for being a full participant in OTAs, because not every player does that. Just FYI. Mm-hmm. Not every player is showing up. Let's get back into the Kings offseason really briefly here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the Heat or the Hornets?
Let's go Hornets.
Okay. The Charlotte Hornets. The first player who comes up, and we're bringing him up because the question will arise if we don't, Miles Bridges, I'm out.
I'm out too, Kyle.
I don't care about how much he helps on the court.
Yeah, basketball. As a basketball player, there are certain things that he does that I think would help the team.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things on the court he does that I don't think would help the team.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't want any part of that smoke.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't know.
Let somebody else make that mistake.
Yep. Off the list.
Yep.
What about Trey Mann?
I really like Trey Mann, and I think if you were to lose Malik Monk, Trey Mann is a guy that I would go out and see if I could get him to be a low budget young player. He's a 1 year, what, $4 million contract, something like that. And like, why not? $4.9 million, and then he's a restricted free agent after that. So yeah,
he can shoot it a little bit. This year with Charlotte, he averaged 5 assists a game. For the season, he averaged 4. That was new. That was a new thing in his game that he hadn't gotten a chance to show in OKC. I'm in on the Trey Mann idea because he's a young player, but he's not young in the way that, hey, he needs 3 years to develop first. I think you could pretty confidently put him in your rotation tomorrow.
Yeah, he just got his first true opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. He had never really got an opportunity. Now he got his first real opportunity, and I think he played really well.
Yeah, definitely. What about Cody Martin? Caleb Martin. We'll get to Caleb Martin later.
Yeah, like, I've always said I'll take either one of the Martin twins.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2 years, $16.8 million left on his contract. But, you know, again, like, those guys play hard, both of them. They both can hit the three ball. They both are sort of jack of all trades, master of none players. But the Kings need some of those like Swiss Army knife players, and that's, to me, that's what he is.
Did I say Terrence Mann? Sorry, I meant Trey Mann.
No, you said Trey Mann.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I saw in the chat that I said the wrong name. Yeah, Trey Mann.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in on either Martin twin. That's a solid player off the bench for me.
Yeah, totally.
With Cody.
Just improves your overall rotation and your depth, like seventh, eighth man in your rotation.
Definitely. Nick Richards, really, really interesting player, Nick Richards. I can't decide if he's good or not. No, really, like he's one of those players. We talked about this yesterday with the guys the Mavericks went and got.
Yeah.
And you watch those guys on those teams and you're like, I don't know how. I don't know on PJ Washington. That's kind of a bad team. I don't know. And then he gets to Dallas, and he's a key reason that they're going to the Western Conference Finals. Nick Richards,
yep,
is a player who, and again, admittedly, he's 10 points, 8 boards a game this year, 8 points, 6 boards a game last year. Before that, wasn't really a factor for Charlotte. The only time I've really paid close attention to Nick Richards is when Charlotte plays the Kings.
Yeah.
So I don't have a ton on him as a, he could play alongside Sabonis. He can't play alongside Sabonis. You look at his numbers, and I don't think he can. He doesn't space the floor at all. Not a great passer. At least he wasn't asked to do those things.
Yeah.
But again, I'm viewing him through the scope of with the Hornets, and maybe there's a better player there in a different role.
Yeah, I put him in the same bucket as like the Brandon Clarks, the, you know, Jared Vanderbilt. Like Jared Vanderbilt's a little different. He's more rangy on the perimeter. Montrezl Harrell, those types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, look, if you need a guy to come off the bench and as a bench scorer slash defensive big, he can get you 10 and 8 in a game with no problem. He can block a shot. Mm-hmm. He's going to play with like a certain like ferociousness, ferocity. Yeah. So I think it's really interesting. I'm wondering now in my head, I have so many players for the Hornets, and the Hornets are a bad team. But do I have so many players in my head for the Hornets, and did I write so many players down because PJ Washington was so successful when he left?
Maybe.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe, but we're also trying to plug these players into like reserve roles with the Kings.
Yeah.
These are players who may or may not be available for trade. They don't cost a ton of money, and they're just, yeah, you know what? This would be a quality bench upgrade.
Yeah, he's a 2-year, $10 million deal. Could you throw like Chris Duarte in a second round pick for him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Grant Williams, last name you have down here, 3 years, $41 million left. He was part of the PJ Washington trade.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how much Charlotte would be willing to move him. He's still only 25 years old, which is nuts to me. Where do you land on Grant Williams?
I don't know, because I was never a huge Grant Williams fan before when he was with Boston, and I thought he really fit in well with Boston, but he is a physical dude. He is tough, and he can shoot the three ball, and he rebounds, and he's getting better as a passer. I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to go a little younger version of Harrison Barnes, I think Harrison is a more accomplished player. I think he's a better all-around player, mm-hmm. but I think Grant Williams is probably a better defender and probably more physical. He's just smaller. I would have to at least think about it, because I think there's a possibility that they made that trade just to get the first round pick.
Yeah.
They didn't make that trade
to get Grant Williams.
So there's a possibility he might be available.
My biggest concern would be how he feels about his role, because he's not like a ball handler. We're going to get him a bunch of shots a night type of player. And when he went to, and maybe his complaint with Dallas was the your turn, my turn with Luka and Kyrie, which is kind of what it was when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that has since evolved with those two guys, and you've seen it. And that's why they're in the conference finals, or part of the reason they're in the conference finals. But after he left Dallas, his first game after Charlotte won, he was on post game talking about how much better it was in Charlotte, and they pass the ball, and everybody's part of the team and this and that. I, like I said, maybe that was a Mavs specific thing, a Luka specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one piece of this that sticks out in my head. But when you talk about a dogged defender, he can knock down a three. At these 37% from three, almost 38% from three.
Yeah.
For his career, I'm not out on the idea for sure.
Yeah,
I would definitely want to ask around though and see Was he happy in Charlotte? Was he disappointed with his role in Dallas or just the offense? Because he got 10 shots a game in Charlotte. He's not going to get like a ton more than that with the Kings.
No.
So that would be my question.
Yeah, his role is going to be as like the fifth guy in the starting lineup.
All right. We got to get to the Miami Heat next. We got the handoff with D'Lo coming up next and our daily salary cap lesson coming up next as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we got the handoff coming up. D'Lo of D'Lo and KC will be in about 12 minutes or so. We still have to talk about the Miami Heat and players available, potentially available from the Heat that the Kings could go get this offseason. But before we do that, James, you know what? No, we're going to do that first, and then we'll do the salary cap. The Miami Heat. We already talked about Cody Martin, so let's get Caleb Martin out of the way. In on Caleb Martin, he has a $7.1 million player option. I don't think he'll pick that up.
Oh, no way.
No,
there's no way. Okay. There's no way he picks up that option.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's gonna get some money.
Yeah, they have his bird rights. I mean, at a minimum, I think he's looking at a close to a full mid level. But the problem that he has is he's 28 and, you know, he'll be 29 in September. So I think he's the type of player that you could invest a 4-year, 40-something million dollar deal in.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to hold up. I don't know if he's your bench guy or your starter guy. I don't think it really matters. He just does everything. 10 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.5 blocks, and 20, 8 minutes a game. He also shoots 35% from three. Career 35.7 from three. Like, just a smart, toolsy basketball player.
And how many times do you watch Miami and you look at the box score and Caleb Martin's box score doesn't jump out, but you can remember seven winning plays he made?
Yes.
Man, he hit that big shot. He grabbed that big rebound. He had that huge steal. He had that big block. Like, he just, there are so many things he just does that affect winning.
Yeah, totally.
That go beyond the box score. And I think the Kings could use more guys like that.
Yeah, they both came through during the draft process. I think both for, I think Caleb went through the draft process twice before going back to UNR. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of, they've been around this area. They're North Carolina guys. They grew up with Harry Giles. They're very, very close to Harry Giles. Mm. And so, yeah, just a little different. I think they're both really, really good players. I would take them full mid-level or close to a mid-level. I don't know if I'd give them a full 4 years, maybe a like 3 year 36 or something like that. But I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to make plenty of money. And I think he's also like a repetitive piece for that team.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of cheap player options, Josh Richardson has a $3.1 million player option. I'm guessing he will not exercise that. And he's another player that I don't think he affects winning the way Caleb Martin does on a night-in, night-out basis. But yeah. I think when you're adding him to your bench, you're probably upgrading your bench quite a bit for the Kings.
No, I totally agree. He's a guy that the Kings have been attached to like so many different times. I think he likes the Heat culture. And I also think at this point in his career, he's more probably like a two-year, $8, $9 million player.
Mm-hmm.
So not a huge investment, but like sort of biannual exception type guy.
Yeah.
I would take him on my team because he can score, he can play defense. I just think you're right. He's more of a off-the-bench guy at this point. He's sort of a little bit like what Alec Burks has become for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like on any given night, he can get hot and go for like 20-something. But then for the most part, you kind of expect him to be around 10, 12 points a game.
Just so everybody, we're aware of people talking. Sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. Thomas Bryant. I watched Thomas Bryant play one time, and it was here in Sacramento, and he looked like prime Hakeem. Ever since then, I've been like, wow, Thomas Bryant should be in a rotation. Ergo, I'm in.
I like Thomas Bryant throughout his career, and I don't know why at, like, he's only 26.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's 32, right? So I've always, and he seems like a guy who's been around the league forever. He really hasn't. He'll be 27 in July. As far as, like, backup bigs, this is a guy that, he shot over 40% from three,
yeah,
like, five times in his career. I think he's smart. He can do a lot of things, and I totally dig what he brings to the table as, you know, a guy who can steal a couple of minutes next to Sabonis, but also come off the bench and give you plenty.
Yeah, man, he's had a couple of really, really promising years, and he's just never quite gotten over the hump. And I don't think he would be expensive, so I think you bring him in, and if it doesn't work out, fine. You're not committing major resources to him, but if you're going to take a flyer on a big, I would way rather it be a Thomas Bryant type player that maybe you have to pay a little more money to than Nerlens Noel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I'm talking. And maybe you get him in camp and maybe you're like, yeah, no, this guy isn't going to crack the rotation and he's just on the end of your bench.
Yeah, I think, interesting enough, the last 3 years he's been on a minimum scale contract.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is really strange. Like, he feels
it's like there has to be more there.
Yeah.
There has to be something there.
Yeah, to go from $8.6 million and have a three-year, like, $25 million deal and then drop down to to this. I know he had the injury. Like, he had a knee injury. But we're talking about a guy who's been on minimum scale contracts in his 24, 25, and 26-year-old seasons. And if you're going to get him for cheap, like, if you can get him on a minimum scale deal, like, why not? Like, I don't know. I like him. I like him as a player.
Yeah, he in his naturally, basketball reference doesn't want to work for me. His second year, he goes 10.5 points, 6.3 boards on 61.6% from the field, 33% from three, 78% from the stripe. The next year, 13, 7, and 2 on 58% from the field, 40% from three, and 74% from the stripe. And then the year he got hurt, 14 points. He was at six boards, 1.5 assists, 64.8% from the field, and 42.9% from three. Like, that's a really high-quality ascending player.
Yeah.
And then he just hasn't quite gotten another shot to really crack a rotation. I'd love to see the Kings give him that shot.
Yep.
For sure. Last one before we get to our salary cap discussion for the day, or our salary cap terminology lesson for the day, I should say. DeLon Wright. I'm just in. Bring me DeLon Wright.
I like DeLon Wright. I don't know why he's bounced around so much. He's gotten paid so many times in his career. And talk about a guy who gets paid way more than you think. Where, you know, again, like a guy like Thomas Bryant doesn't. But DeLon Wright to me is a guy who came into Sacramento, played extremely well. He's long. He's athletic. He plays hard on defense. He's a steal guy, a bit of a gambler.
Yep.
If you're going to go with a bigger point guard as your backup, I don't see why not. I just worry that at this stage in his career, he's out there hunting for, like, I don't think he's the type of player who's a ring hunter, but he's looking to get on rosters where he's going to make minimum scale money at 32 years old and probably have an opportunity. Just like all around good player and a guy that I mean, for his career, he's at 1.2 steals per game in 20 minutes.
DeLon Wright is a player that I just forget exists until I watch DeLon Wright play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh man, he's a nice player.
Yeah.
Kings could use a guy like that.
He's made $50 million in his career.
Dang.
Quietly. Sorry to pocket watch there, but yeah. I mean,
D'Lo and KZ coming up at noon.
That's right.
All right. So that's the Southeast Division. And again, I'm going to put all these into a like doc that hopefully can be accessible for everybody. I got to dive in and sort all that out.
Okay.
But you don't need to take notes. It'll be an open note test at the end of the week. Explain this to me like I'm five. We're taking a salary cap thing and James is going to explain it to me like I am a five-year-old because I don't understand so many of the machinations of the NBA salary cap. Today's word is biannual exception.
Yeah. The
biannual exception.
The BAE, right?
Yeah, the Bay.
I even put the wrong, yeah.
Yeah, you put BAU.
Yeah. So this season, the biannual exception is for $4.7 million.
What is it?
It's a lot like the mid-level exception, but basically cut in half, right? So the biannual exception, first of all, mid-level you can use every year, right?
Right.
You always have access to. The biannual's every other year. So if the Kings
use it biannually.
Yes. The Kings did not use it last year. They have it this year. So now what it is basically a $4.7 million contract.
Another question.
All right.
Is this biannual, like you have it in 2021 and then you don't in 2022? Or is it you have it until you use it?
Yes. And once you use it, you can't use it the next year.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. We're on the same page.
Got it.
Right? The mid-level you can use every year. The biannual you can use only every other year. And if you don't use it for 5 years and then you use it, you still don't have it the next year.
Right. Got it. Right.
So the mid-level is for 4 years maximum. The biannual is for only 2 years maximum. And it's where you see guys usually get like a two-year $9 million contract. Or it used to be lower. The dollar amount used to be lower. So when the Kings signed, I believe when they signed Rashawn Holmes, it was to the biannual exception, I think, maybe. But it wasn't, he got a 2 year 10, I think. Whatever exception they use. So the biannual, it's only good for teams that are either room teams that are under the cap, teams that are from the cap to the luxury tax. And then after that, if you're below the second apron, you can still use it. But it's also has that little twist that we talked about with the mid-level. Mm-hmm. You can now trade players into that. So you can go out and find a $4.5 million or $4.7 million player as long as his contract is not longer than 2 years because it's got to fit into the parameters of the exception.
So they can have 2 years left on their deal for $9.4 million or less.
Yes.
Got it.
So, and I would even tell you, there was a season a couple of years ago where the Kings looked like they were going to sign Alex Len using the biannual exception. Mm-hmm. At the last second, they switched and they used part of the mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. And it was so they kept the biannual exception alive for the next year.
Got it.
So, and then the other caveat I would put with both the mid-level and the biannual exception, and you know, again, everyone in the league gets these exceptions unless you're over a certain dollar amount, then right. they start reducing what you can do. But the other caveat with both of these, the mid-level and the biannual exception, is that you're available to trade somebody into that all the way up until like the week after the trade deadline.
Okay.
You can't trade for a player after the deadline, but you can use the exception all the way up until that point.
Got it.
So you get to January, February, and you're like, okay, we need a boost. I'm going to look around the league and see if I can find a player who makes less than $5 million a year, who's playing well, and maybe it's a minimum, but a years of service guy that has a bigger contract than just mm-hmm. like a $2 or $3 million. You can go out and trade for a player into your and bring him in. So yeah, interesting stuff.
Hmm. Biannual exception.
Yep.
This will all come into play throughout the off season as we continue discussing the Sacramento Kings and what moves they can or will or should or could make. And we'll have more of that. I need the aprons explained to me at some point. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Maybe in the next couple of days. NBA conference finals begin tonight. We will begin in the East where the Pacers visit the Celtics. Since the Pacers beat the Knicks, I've been trying to come up with some way that the Pacers can go into this series and upset the Celtics. And I think I can't do it. I've tried really, really hard, but the Pacers, it appears, are going to live and die with what Tyrese Halliburton is doing offensively. Mm. All due respect to Andrew Nembhard and Pascal Siakam and Obi Toppin and Aaron Nesmith, Miles Turner, but the Celtics just have so many different players they can throw at Tyrese Halliburton that I don't know how he ever really gets going in this series. I think the Celtics can play a style of basketball that grinds things down, like you were talking about the Knicks needed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Knicks necessarily had the personnel to do that. I think Boston does. I think they can take the Pacers out of their game, and I can't draw a line to a Pacers win in the series.
I can't either.
I've got nothing.
I don't think there's any way to do it. Maybe we're like way off base here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a visitor. Here. Dame is here.
This room smells like coffee.
It does smell like coffee. We had a major computer malfunction this morning, which went all the way up until the time the show ran, so we're a little bit of a mess.
No, it's not been a mess. We've been doing a great show today, I thought.
We have been doing a great show today.
That's just the truth, dog.
It is just the truth, dog.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah, I just don't see a way in which they somehow like magically step in and become like this world beater.
Yeah,
so.
I've got nothing for you. It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling, D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Can you draw a realistic path to the Pacers beating the Celtics in this series?
Absolutely.
Okay, do it.
Shoot 80% from the field like they did the other night.
Oh.
What's so hard about that?
Hey, you know what? Hey, long break. And the show's over.
Shoot a historic percentage from the field like they did.
I said realistic path, and you said do something no other team has ever done.
Except for them. No other team has done except for them. They shot the lights out four times against New York. Mm-hmm. New York is a really, really good defensive team mm-hmm. who did their best to kind of play that Maverick style of basketball, scoring a lot of points. They mm-hmm. like to get up and down the floor too. They were so depleted. I'm not making excuses for them because I don't think a full New York Knicks team would have been able to beat them in game 7. You can argue what happens in mm-hmm. game 6, 5, 4, all of that other stuff. But you weren't going to beat them in game 7, not the way that they were shooting. And I don't think it happens, but I think it's very realistic. Like, I'm not going to say the Pacers can't shoot 60-some-odd% from the field after seeing them do it damn near four times in the previous series against a good defensive team.
Mm.
Again, I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying it's likely. I just don't think it's outrageous if the Pacers advance.
I kind of think it is. I just what the Celtics can do defensively, like all due respect to the Knicks, the Celtics can be so much better on the perimeter.
I don't
and the
disagree.
Other, the other thing that I don't want to say has flown under the radar, but when we talk about that Knicks-Pacers series, if Andrew Nembhard doesn't literally hit the longest shot of his life in Game 3, mm-hmm. that series is over in like 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, perhaps.
And it's just...
Yeah, perhaps.
I would also add this, too.
Maybe I'm underselling the Pacers.
We think about...
Well, no, I don't think the Pacers are... I think the Pacers are going to be a better team next year. Mm-hmm. I might go so far to say is I think the Pacers are going to be a significantly better team next year. I think the Pacers could conceivably be 2 or 3 next year wow. in the Eastern Conference. But this year, they are offensive-based. Rick Carlisle is a very good defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
But they are an offensive-based team, and they are running everything with Tyrese and Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, to me, it's just not inconceivable. They're free. Like, I think the term house money is garbage. Like, they're here. They're playing for an NBA championship
sure.
like anybody else
sure.
is. But they do not have the level of pressure on them that the Boston Celtics have. They are playing completely free and loose. And if history shows us anything, the Celtics will probably be uptight for a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have to, I think the Celtics will have to settle into the series far more than the Pacers will.
Interesting.
Okay, so I got a couple of things. Number one, like the Knicks made a mistake early on in that series and said, okay, we're going to run with these guys. I thought that was dumb the whole time. Because you're running with 6 guys, 7 guys.
Mm.
And you're running against a team that's much better at running than you are. Like, you can want to play with pace.
I think they did it effectively.
Well, they did it effectively, but in the end, they weren't able to keep up with a team that just is better
they ran out of
to
guys.
Do it.
They essentially ran out of... They didn't have guys who could do it.
Well, but part of that games. Is because you also ran your team into the ground.
No, that's not fair, James. I don't think that's fair.
I don't know, man.
I don't think that's fair. I understand that that's that's something that Tom Thibodeau wears in his coaching career. But when you look at what the Knicks played, what their starters played basically starter minutes. They played like 35 minutes a game, 36 minutes a game. It's not like there were 4 or 5 guys playing, you know, 40-plus minutes throughout the regular season. Now, the postseason got here, and it was a little bit different because Julius Randle was gone.
Yeah.
You lost Bogdan and Nobi. You lost Bogdan. A lot happened.
The center Mitchell Robinson.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
No. I get what you're saying there, but my point is that, like, if you're gonna get into a track meet with a track team, you gotta play more than 7 guys, and it doesn't matter whether you have. If not, you gotta slow the thing down. And I think it did hurt them. I think guys like OG didn't hold up. Josh Hart didn't hold up. Like, by the end, you were limping to the finish line. So that would be my first point. And the second point is, we always think about, like, injuries impacting so much on the offensive end. Like, oh, you didn't have the horses.
Yeah.
You also didn't have the horses on the defensive end to keep up with a team because you just kept dropping. You kept having guys who weren't, you know, you're going to bring, like, Miles McBride in. Okay, he's fine offensively, I mean, defensively, but he's more of an offensive player, and you kept dropping again and again. Again, I like who's their center, Hartenstein, but Mitchell Robinson is your defensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
You kept losing defenders, and that was a problem. And you got into a track meet with a team that you shouldn't have gotten in a track meet with without a lot of your defensive-minded guys. And, okay,
here's,
you got beat.
Here's the other thing that jumps out to me is forget what the Celtics can do defensively. The Knicks specifically, if it wasn't Jalen Brunson... They didn't have anything offensively.
Yeah.
Except Dante DiVincenzo hitting threes.
I feel like Bob Myers, you asked about the Celtics and we're talking about the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Or Bob Myers.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out for that joke mildly escaping Kyle.
No, I thought I said a wrong thing.
No, you said it perfectly.
Right. You guys were doing just, the different yeah, thing. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay.
You're very good at your job.
Thanks.
You're doing a great job. Yeah. Stupid ass questions.
I think that Boston has so many different ways to exploit the Pacers defensively than the Knicks did, and that's honestly my bigger problem.
The Celtics are the best team in the league.
Yes,
whether Denver is playing or not.
Yes,
like
the Celtics
period.
Are the best
yes.
team
yes.
in the league. Yes. So yes, the Pacers, the Timberwolves, the Mavericks. None of them are better than the Celtics. But will the Celtics be able to execute if the Pacers get up and down the floor and get comfortable, which is what happened at the Garden? They got comfortable, and by the time New York tried to do it, was too late.
Yep.
That ball had gone downhill.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and KC?
Probably a lot. Lord, I don't know, dude. Uh-huh. We always say what we have coming
up.
We just wind up talking. We just vibing. I know we're going to open the show about that defensive team. Like, that's really frustrating to me.
Hmm.
Just not a, like, so De'Aaron's just ass, huh?
Mm.
Keegan doesn't get in it. He got two votes, bro. Like, this goes to what we talk about. Kyle's telling me to shut up, so
I don't want you to start your show.
No, it's fine. No, it's
D'Lo
fine.
And KC is coming up next.
Bring gas.
On ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.